two statements from different people located distantly in distant places and coming from completely diverse points of view have made us focus on China once again. What are these statements? So first of all, the Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. Now we know that just recently, just over the last couple of days, the China, India, Russia Foreign Ministers Summit or meeting took place. This was by video. This was their 18th meeting. This meeting took place, and at that meeting, each side presented a sort of a point of view and generally gave the impression that the three countries were together on many issues. Importantly, Wang Yi's speech there, and see this report on the speech in Global Times. You will see it on the screen. I will also share a link with you. Now, you trust Global Times at least to quote their own foreign minister accurately. Now, he has said, see, what is he doing? He's warning India and Russia to beware of the democracy trap. And what is this democracy trap? He's saying basically that the Americans or the Western powers, they are trapping you in their kind of democracy into defining, because they are defining democracy in terms of the system that they follow. So they are telling you this is the democratic ideal and you must conform to this. And he says countries like ours are also democracies. We follow our own systems. We follow our own multilateralism. We have our own internal realities. And the Western world wanting to export their kind of democracy to us, and the Western world wanting us to comply with their kind of democratic principles, is a trap. And this is an excuse to start interfering our internal affairs in the name of democracy, in the name of human rights, etc., etc. So it's very clear where he's coming from. Now, that's one warning from Chinese Communist Party, which considers itself a democratic party and which considers its government in China a democratic government. This is coming from him. The other statement has come from a top Western Secret Service chief. So Richard Moore, the head of MI6, which is the British External Intelligence Service. Richard Moore has been quoted in the British press. He's saying that increasingly China's domination over global affairs is increasing, and China is using the power of debt trap and data trap to increase their hold over the world. And he said that we, as in the Western world, need to be robust in fighting on our corner and also work on our technology research, etc., etc. But basically that China is using the dual traps of debt and data to expand its influence. And then he goes on to say China is also using debt now to acquire ports, which can be naval facilities tomorrow, naval bases tomorrow, in the same way that countries like ours, that is Britain, or maybe other Western countries would have done by using force in the past. So China is using debt to do it. We have the example of Hambantota next door to us. So both of them, I told you, different people, distantly located, coming from completely diverse points of view. Both of us are warning the rest of the world of traps. In fact, both of them are warning rest of the democratic world of traps, but different kinds of traps. Wang Yi is saying the democracy trap, and Richard Moore is saying the debt and data trap. So all traps, DDD, it rhymes quite nicely, debt, data, democracy. Now, as we look at this debate and look at these diverse statements, it makes us think about what's happening in China. Because if China is telling India and Russia that, look, you follow your own democracy just as we follow our own democracy, and forget whatever the West is saying. The Chinese concern is about the summit of democracies, the global summit of democracies that Joe Biden is holding. Because the Chinese see it as a threat, and they say this is a way for America and the Western world to divide the world between those who follow their kind of democracy or conform to their kind of democracy and those that are different. That will mean China, Russia, for example. So they don't want that. Now, what is happening in China? So there's a whole bunch of readings that we found as we started looking at it. So first of all, I should start with one of our own. So Adil Brar, who writes two pieces a week for us on China, because China is the most important country for us in India. And it's a great tragedy that we study China so little. Adil Brar is a young fellow. He knows Chinese language very well. He keeps track of Chinese media, including social media, very closely. Check out it with his Twitter handle. He's writing these two pieces for us every week. One is a newsletter that soon enough will go behind a paywall once we get our paywall ready. And second is a column. So in his newsletter this time, he talks about how challenging it is to be a celebrity in China. So he's been writing about this phenomenon for some time, but this time he's picked up the case of Macau's gambling king. Now, Macau is the gambling capital of the world, a bit like Vegas of the East. But Macau is also a Chinese territory now, has a semi-autonomous status, just as Hong Kong has had. And a lot of Macau's income comes from gambling. Macau's attraction is gambling. So Macau's gambling mogul, Alvin Chow Chia Kwa, he says has been arrested on charges of wrongdoing with his gambling operations, running gambling dens, etc., etc., while it's well known that Macau is the gambling capital of the East. Now, he's somebody, obviously, the Chinese Communist Party took a dislike to. So he's gone inside, he's gone into jail, and now they're going after many of his stakeholders also, people who may have been running this gambling dens and casinos in Macau. Then he also points out that China's Association for Performing Art is a very powerful association. He's also added that China's Association for Performing Arts has now issued a negative list of 88 celebrities. These 88 celebrities include the famous Chinese Canadian celebrities like Chris Wu, Zheng Shuang, Zhang Zehan. We'll show you as many pictures as we can find. They have now been barred for being streamed live. So can you imagine if there's a restriction tomorrow, where somebody says, okay, you guys can't stream, Shekhar Gupta, you can't be streamed live, right? Shekhar Gupta, you don't have the freedom to talk to your audiences. So when it happens to a superstar, particularly in showbiz, entertainment business, because numbers, people are their currency. So this basically means choking them and starving them. So they have now issued a negative list. So 88 of these celebrities cannot be streamed live. And there are many other restrictions. Basically, they've been blacklisted, blackballed, whatever you call it, because they say that they indulge in improper behavior, which could mislead the masses. So this is one way of the social commercial boycott of celebrities you don't like. So you even decide, the party even has a veto on who can be a celebrity and who cannot be a celebrity. Now, with this, we also read an article by my favorite foreign affairs columnist, Gideon Rahman, in the Financial Times. And see that column also. I'll share a link with you. Who says that it's quite evident now. In fact, the article is titled, Why China's Elites Tread a Perilous Path. I'm counting all this because the Chinese have just given us a lecture on what kind of democracy we should have. Maybe they want us to learn from them. I hope not. I pray not. Right? So in this article, Why China's Elites Tread a Perilous Path, he mentions that in 2014 in Davos, he met a very bright Chinese journalist called Rui Chen Gang. Now, Rui Chen Gang was China's superstar on Chinese TV. He was very aggressive, very in your face. He would ask tough questions of Obama in an interview. He would say things like, I can speak to you on behalf of all of Asia. He was quite a character and a big star in China. So he said 2014 Davos, I met him. I also saw him ask the Japanese Prime Minister a tough question and also mentioned while asking that question that when he is in Tokyo, he goes to the same gym at which Shinzo Abe would go, right? So he was feeling good about himself. And he said that this Chinese star anchor said to him that next time you are in China, come look me up. So next time he was in China, he tried to look him up. By that time, Mr. Rui Chen Gang, this superstar anchor, I mean, you can compare him with anybody who you consider superstar on Indian TV, your choice, not mine, right? He was bigger than that in China at that point because China does not have that much diversity of media, that much competition is not there. He disappeared. At a time when he disappeared, he had 11 million, 1 crore, 10 lakh followers on Weibo. Weibo is the Chinese Twitter. So that tells you how popular a news anchor like him was. He disappeared. His Weibo handle also went silent completely. And how powerful he was, if you want to understand how powerful he was in the past, in 2007, he'd run a campaign to get the Starbucks outlet removed from Forbidden City, saying that this is a valuable heritage area. There cannot be a Starbucks outlet here. And he had succeeded in that campaign in China. That is a big deal. A man as popular as that now completely disappeared. His social media presence disappeared. Basically, he was killed on the media. Not physically, he was killed on the media for a long time, for nearly 2 years. Nobody knew where he was. In 2016, something came out in Chinese official media that he had been arrested for bribe taking. Now, nobody knows what that case was. And also that a bunch of other employees of the Chinese TV network he worked for were arrested. And their trial will begin soon. And you know what happened in China when a trial begins? You get convicted. Because when you say Russian roulette, you have at least 5 chances out of 6, right? The 6 chambers, only one has the bullet. In the Chinese legal system, if you are tried under a criminal charge, the conviction rate is 99.9%. You can bring the smartest lawyer for yourself. You can bring Harish Salve, Mukul Rohtagi, Perry Mason. You can bring who you want, right? But 999 out of 1,000 people who are charged with a crime in a Chinese court will be convicted. So see what your odds are. Your odds are almost nothing. So in 2016, 2 years into his disappearance, they said he'll be tried. And since then, you haven't heard of him. Now, another book has now come out. This book is called Red Roulette. That's the reason I thought of the example of the Russian roulette. Now, Red Roulette, we talked about it a while back when we talked about disappearances of famous people in China, and that was triggered by tennis player Peng Shuai's disappearance. This is a book written by Desmond Shum. Desmond Shum's wife Whitney Duan had disappeared a couple of years back in 2017, in fact 4 years back. And we had mentioned in that earlier Kardakta to you that 3 years later she suddenly appeared from nowhere, not physically but on the phone, called her husband and begged him not to publish this book. So obviously she was detained someplace and she feared for her life, or she feared torture or something, that she begged him not to publish the book. But he's published the book. Now in that book, he gives an idea of how these power connections work in Xi's China now. And you don't know when you can fall foul of somebody, and then you can disappear. That's a minor mercy. You can be incarcerated for a very long time, or you can be executed quickly. So in the book, there is also reference to what might have led to trouble for this couple. This couple were self-made. They came from very poor backgrounds and then built themselves into a big property development company in China. They were getting a lot of government contracts. One of those contracts was a big building project with Beijing Airport. That got into some trouble. So the general manager of Beijing Airport, who was their counterpart in that deal, who they were dealing with, his name was Li Peiying. He first disappeared. He disappeared. Soon enough, he was charged with corruption and executed. Right? Executions take place quite easily in China. Similarly, their friend, top Communist Party official Sun Jiankai, who was also seen widely as Xi's likely successor, he was arrested in 2018, again, why? On charges of corruption. So he went into jail. So troubles rubbed off on this couple. Troubles rubbed off on Desmond Shum and his wife, Whitney Duan. It also so happens that Whitney Duan was supposed to be, or known to be, a very close friend of the wife of the former premier Wen Jiabao. Wen Jiabao was the premier. He was the second most powerful man in China. Today, he's shunned. He's been put in disrepute. The party has disowned him. So much so that he only communicates with people by code now. That is the kind of thing that can happen to you in China. So if that is the idea, if that is the idea of democracy that the Chinese are convincing India and Russia about, I would say that India, of course, will never buy into this, but I would say even Russia should be careful. And I hope when Putin comes calling in a few days in Delhi on December 6th, Prime Minister Modi also reminds him of this. Now, with this, again on a very different front, some more revelations have come out, which again are a reflection on the quality of China's democracy, because China is now promoting its own idea of democracy to its friends, that is India and Russia, right? Such as they are. So a whole bunch of documents have now leaked out of China. You can imagine what an act of bravery it is for somebody in China to leak something secret. Some of these documents are marked top secret. So these are documents, many of which contain speeches by Xi Jinping. Only in China, speeches by Xi Jinping, the president, can also remain top secret or can be delivered in a top secret way, because the people doesn't own the state in China. The party owns the state and the people in China. So in these speeches and these documents, you find evidence linking Chinese government and Chinese Communist Party directly with harsh security measures over Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang, forced population control, forcible population control, and also mass punishment of Uyghur population. Now, one very good summary of these documents, these leaked documents, has come out in The Guardian, written by its diplomatic editor, Patrick Wintour. Now, these documents have some speeches. So, what is it that these documents talk about? These documents talk about mass internment in re-education camps, coercive labor practices, optimization of the ethnic mix. You know what that means? That too many of Uyghurs should not be there. So optimization of the ethnic mix, that's a terrible euphemism. And shifting more of China's mainstream Han population, majority Han ethnic population, into Uyghur areas, again to optimize the ethnic mix of the population. So these documents were leaked and they were presented to the Uyghur Tribunal. Uyghur Tribunal is an independent voluntary body that works out of London and investigates excesses over the Uyghur population in China. So they got these documents and they sent these out to an expert called Dr. Adrian Zenz, Z-E-N-Z or Z-E-N-Z, depending on how you pronounce Z, I say Z. So Dr. Adrian Zenz is a senior fellow for China studies at Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation in Washington, D.C. It is an anti-communist foundation. So the Chinese obviously dismiss him as a Christian activist who's out to undermine communism, etc., etc. He's also sanctioned by the Chinese government. So we have to understand that. But so he's written a lot of books and papers and monographs on Chinese excesses in Tibet and Xinjiang. So he's taken seriously globally, obviously not liked by the Chinese. One of his earlier books, for example, is from 2013, which is Tibetan-ness Under Threat, Neo-Integrationism, Minority Education and Career Strategies in Qinghai. Qinghai is a province bordering southern Xinjiang. Southern Xinjiang is also the region that's closer to India, closer to Pakistan and closer to Central Asian republics. That is the region that the Chinese are most worried about. In 2017, he wrote two more, Xinjiang's Rapidly Evolving Security State, and he wrote that with James Liebold, who's been his co-author in many papers, and also a paper on Chen Kuangguo, and he will come back in our story. Chen Kuangguo is the Communist Party secretary for Xinjiang province, the most sensitive province in China for the Communist Party. And then 2019, he wrote one called Brainwashing, Police Guards and Coercive Internment, Evidence from Chinese Government Documents about the Nature and Extent about China's quote-unquote vocational training internment tanks. Then another paper, Break the Roots, Evidence of China's Parent-Children Separation Campaign. So he's done a lot of this writing and he's taken seriously. You can like him, you cannot like him, depending on where you are. 2020, he has a paper that is headlined Sterilization, IUDs, Interuterine Devices, and Mandatory Birth Control, the Chinese Communist Party's Campaign to Suppress Uyghur Birth Rate. So he's been an activist scholar in this area and he has validated these documents, and further, his validation has gone through a peer review process as well. So these documents are generally seen to be authentic. Now, these documents quote in 2014, Xi delivering a speech to his party cadres, party senior leaders, who then spread it to the cadres, saying that a stable domestic security environment for China is imperative for China to achieve its foreign policy objectives in the 21st century. So, stable domestic security environment, the threat he identifies as only coming from southern Xinjiang, from the Uyghur population. So, then he goes on to say, this is Xi talking, quote, therefore, we propose that Xinjiang is currently in a painful period of interventionist treatment. So, can you imagine how people can use euphemistic language, right? So, he says, therefore, we propose that Xinjiang is currently in a painful period of interventionary. Then he goes on to say, religious extremists, quote, are devils who will kill without blinking an eye. Quotes closed. Then he goes on to say that religious extremism is a powerful psychedelic drug. Then he goes on to say that stability across Xinjiang depends on southern Xinjiang, and we have to deliver a crushing blow to extremists there to buy time. These translations I haven't done. I have taken these translations from The Guardian. And also these documents quote Chen Kuangguo. We told you we'll come back to him. Chen Kuangguo, who says that round up all who should be rounded up. Isn't that like the warning of that captain, that corrupt captain in Casablanca? Round up the usual suspects. So he says round up all who should be rounding up. And then he goes on to say, that is Kuangguo, that re-education facilities should be, quote, unswervingly operated for a long time, unquote. And once again, from another speech, there is a quote from Xi Jinping, who says, population proportion and population security are important foundations for long-term peace and stability. What does it mean? That he wants the population balanced between the Han and the Uyghurs in Xinjiang. 2020, a Chinese Communist Party official has also been quoted in these documents as saying that Han population in southern Xinjiang is too low. There are severe imbalances in distribution of ethnic population, and that southern Xinjiang is becoming severely mono-ethnic. Now, just compare that with the situation in India. In India, there is Sikh schedule and other privileges and protections given in our constitution, whereby our tribal regions, our tribal people, our ethnic communities, our indigenous communities, they can be protected, right? This is the opposite. This says that you're too mono-ethnic, so I will create diversity by bringing the larger population of the majority from outside. So I will do my own mixing and matching to arrive at what I think is the ideal demographic, ethnographic mix in any part of my country. In this case, this is only focused on southern Xinjiang. So the local party and local officials have been given the mandate to shift 3 lakh more Han Chinese from the adjoining Chinese states into southern Xinjiang to balance this population. And this is being done by an organization called Xinjiang Construction and Production Corporation, or Bingtuan as it's called. This is basically a paramilitary force which will bring these people from outside and settle them here, and also keep moving the Uyghurs into re-education camps to cure them of their religious extremist quote-unquote ideas. We are putting all this data and all these facts in front of you so you can make up your own minds on how seriously to take the advice from the Chinese.